Well, let's take our book of Daniel. We're in chapter 10. We almost finished the end. We have chapter 10. We had to stop at verse 12. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 12. So let's begin with the verse 11, 12, and 13. Let's read those three verses if we can. If anybody has any comments or questions, give us a call, 856-261-9018, or simply email questions@bftbc.org. Dan has got his phone ready, and you can take your questions at bftbc.org. All right, Daniel 10, let's read 11, 12, and 13 together. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I spake unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I have come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Right in verse number 11, we stopped there last time. What does Daniel call here? Okay, and who is it that is speaking to him there? Okay, and the vision, and he saw the vision, and the man, and so on, and possibly could be the Lord Jesus in pre-incarnate state, but or an angel of the Lord. And he touched him and said, Daniel, greatly beloved. How do you get that way? How do you get that way? Through the faith of the Lord, was it? Can those of us today, living today, be greatly beloved? The Lord is using us? That's up to the Lord to decide. What about those of us who may say we are greatly beloved, and we take that upon ourselves? Is that good, bad, or indifferent? That's bad. That's pride, isn't it? See? We let the Lord decide. What did the Lord say in the baptism of the Lord Jesus? What did God the Father say? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. In whom I'm well pleased. Different times he said, but hear him and in whom I'm well pleased. But the beloved Son. And John was called the beloved. John the Apostle, wasn't he? He was a beloved. The beloved one. And he leaned on Jesus Christ at the Last Supper. So he's called a beloved. What does he say he should do now? Yes, Anna? All right, what is the distinction between love and beloved? Can you give it to us?
I'm asking you.
Oh, yes, you're okay. Someone who's loved, he's loved by someone. If he's a beloved, that means he's loved also in a sort of an intangible or less of a sense. It's a passive sense, beloved. It's almost the same, Anna, beloved and loved. That person was greatly loved. Daniel said he was greatly loved, beloved. He's greatly beloved. And I guess they're almost the same. Tammy, got some wisdom on this matter? Does someone want to call in and tell us the difference between loved and beloved or beloved?
One's endearment.
Endearment? And love is not?
What term of endearment? When you call someone beloved, that's like calling them darling or sweetie or something like that. It's a term.
What about love?
Well, you can love somebody and still call them different terms of endearment.
Endearment, okay. The love one. Tammy?
So you're saying, in this fact, that you're saying
it's a hard question. Cass has got some wisdom on it. No, we don't have Cass.
I don't have the answer, but Joey was saying in the Psalm of Solomon, doesn't he say my beloved?
Yes, he does, my beloved. That's right. And some pastors, when they begin the service, they say, my beloved, beloved church and so on.
Well, do you have a special name that you say for your wife? It's just...
Well, honey, sweetheart,
So
that's
the term of endearment.
Endearment, yes, it is. Yeah, fine.
Beloved is like a name.
Yes.
He is my beloved.
And my beloved is my
beloved.
He is my beloved. Oh, and the Psalm of Solomon, yes.
That's like a name. Hi, beloved. I love you, beloved.
We remember the beloved one that was over here at college with Dr. McIntyre. He sort of was we call him the beloved because one time my friend was on the radio and couldn't think of his name. So, the beloved one, see. Yes, Dan, have some help on that one.
Isn't the stem the same?
Probably. Agape love, probably agape from the word love, probably. Or maybe phileo, we're not sure of the back.
That's in a different language, but
yes, we agree
the idea of stem.
Yes, stem, be love and be love, yes.
Behind the word love,
uh-huh.
Or loved one, if you would look at the stem of the word.
Yes, love and be love,
it would be the same stem. Well, it should be, like Tammy was saying, a verb was a noun, perhaps, or
mm-hmm.
a different part of speech.
Yes, Tammy, some more insight on
that? That's what I was asking. Yes. If love is a verb, and then beloved
is a noun.
Uh-huh.
Maybe so. The idea of the loved ones, that we just...
We talk of people who have many loved ones, whether they're sisters, brothers, children, loved ones, ones we love. If we love ones, they're called loved, if they're beloved. Those on whom people dispose love, is that a beloved? Those on whom people love are beloved. A person on whom somebody bestows love is a beloved one, am I right? Or a loved one. I guess that's... Do you find anything, Anna?
I think it's bad because I'm being confused. I don't know whether to look up Hebrew or Greek.
Okay. Probably Hebrew. It's in the Old Testament, but yes,
that's right. I was just smiling.
So all that on Anna's questions. Sometimes we get the questions, we don't have all the answers, but they're related ones. Beloved and loved.
Beloved, it's going to be a beloved in Christ, a loved one in Christ. You know, the idea, like, the word.
Here's the answer right here. Hi, Rob, what's up? You got the picture?
Hi, guys. I just want to make my comment, and then other people notice that I can look at my concordance on sword searcher, but it looks off like all the times beloved is used for those set apart and separated by the Lord. And in contrast to love can be used for God so loved the world. That's more in general than saved and unsaved, but beloved always seems to be set apart for his elect, Israel, and the saved.
That's good, brother. Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Take care. Okay, so you guys can help him out. All right, so are we ready to move on? So, still keep us as loved ones, each other. We should love one another as the Lord has given us. What did the angel of the Lord, or Lord Jesus, experience?
David means beloved.
And David, David means beloved, doesn't it? Yes, David is beloved and the loved one. What did this angel or the angel Lord want Daniel?
This song is on David.
Yeah, David. Huh?
What that means, what's you have the stem of David. What's the stem of David? David about? DVD.
I don't know what it is in the Hebrew, but I think it's beloved. Loved one, beloved.
You see the... Right.
I think so. Anna's been looking for us in the meantime. So what did the angel then want Daniel to do?
Understand.
What did he want to understand?
What the words
were. Oh, all right. Very important that we know the words, and the word of God especially. And he spoke to her. Yeah, we had last week, that's right. So just getting background. And so, what was Daniel's reaction to the angel or the Lord Jesus?
Frightened.
Frightened and trembling. And what, in verse 12, that's where we thought, what did the angel or the Lord say to Daniel? Remember we talked about that last Thursday. Fear not. Are there any fear nots in the New Testament?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, many times. Fear not. The angels were there at the tomb, and they were frightened and fear not. Yes, Anna?
Name
of David, and it's
okay. It says it comes from 17:30 or D-O-D. D-O-W-D or D-O-D. D-O-D, okay. And from my the ramification of token, of a friend. Specifically, an uncle,
well-beloved, God's
brother,
love. Love, that's just from David, right, David?
Well, this is Go, the root of David.
Yes, okay, the root of David is Go, or David. All right, so, fear not, Daniel. So, he was trying to console David, who was trembling, and the Lord wants us to keep. Yes, Daniel, I'm sorry. He was trembling, he was afraid in the presence of God. Remember last time we talked about the Mount Sinai and the trembling that people had that don't touch the mountain when the Lord gave the Ten Commandments. And the first day, what did Daniel do in verse number 12? First of all, before that, before he chastened himself, he said his heart to understand. That's important. Now, we must have our heart in place to understand the words of God. The heart must be there. The head could understand, but the heart. What did the two on the road to Emmaus talk?
Did not our heart burn within us?
Did not our heart
in the way?
Burn with us? As he opened to us the scripture, the Lord Jesus appeared to these two on the road to Emmaus after his bodily resurrection. The heart burned with us. By word have I hidden what? My heart, that I might not sin against thee. Very important to the heart to understand. Then he said to chasten thyself. When did Daniel do that? What does it mean to chasten thyself? Yes, and
sackcloth,
yes. What chapter talks about Daniel's admitting that he himself is a sinner like the rest of the people? Chapter 9, that's in his prayer, remember? He didn't say these people have sinned against it. He said we have sinned, includes himself. Yes, Anna?
There's too much confusion because there's too many different ones for beloved and too many different ones for love. So, and some of the time it, we come from the same Lord a few times, and some of the time I saw that the word for beloved was the same as the root of David.
Different words for love, and just like New Testament, so the Old Testament. Chasten himself before God, and thy words were heard. So, his words, when did he give these words? Again, let me ask the same question I asked before. When did Daniel give these words?
When was
it?
When did his prayer?
In the prior words in his prayer, chapter 9, that whole long chapter of prayer. And what was the result of these words, according to verse 12, the last part? When Daniel prayed, what was the result?
They were heard.
They were heard, and what else? They're answered. And the person that came, the Lord Jesus himself, with this special answer, I am come for thy words. What does the word for mean in this word?
Because.
For the purpose. Well, it could be for the purpose of. But what do you think it is here in the passage? For thy words. I've come for the old Susanna. Won't you cry for me?
And because.
Come for my
mother.
For the
purpose
of the but come for to see. Come forth to see. What was it out there? Yes, but that could be. But also in this case, what do you think? For thy words. For the purpose of thy words or because of thy words? See, in this context, it probably means because of.
Well, I'm saying still may be the same thing. For the purpose of and because.
Well, for the purpose of seems to be a far future thing, but for because seems to be looking back to something that happened in the past. Because of thy words in prayer, for the words of thy prayer, I'm come to
well,
be.
Maybe
because
prayer, so in that
because
sense,
maybe.
Well,
see, if you say I've come for the purpose of thy words, that wouldn't make much sense. But I've come for the purpose of thy words.
We don't say that in English, but there are a lot of things.
No, I don't, but for the purpose
of come because of thy words doesn't make doesn't clear up much. I mean,
well,
we understand it's not for the whatever the oh Susanna, he's come for the purpose.
I come from Alabama and my true love for to see. That's what I was trying to get, that my true love for to see the word for
the purpose.
I didn't get that out before, but I finally remember what that was.
My true love for the purpose of.
Well, let's take a sentence that uses it for the purpose of. The broom is used for sweeping, for the purpose of sweeping. That's fine. But you can't say the broom is used because of sweeping. You can say the floor is. No, I swept the floor because it was dirty. Because it was dirty. See, that. When I sweep the floor, for it was dirty because it was dirty. See? So.
But in this context, for thy word, I mean, these words were a prayer, a supplication.
Yes.
And they were in response to what you prayed.
Yes. Because of that word. In other words, because Daniel prayed, he came for that word. Yes, Anna?
I swept the floor because it needed to be clean. I swept the floor for the purpose of cleaning the floor. Does that work?
Well, see, one is for the end that, the other is because of. See, one is the cause, the other is the, for the end of it. See, one is the future, one is the past.
The words are the end, aren't they? They're the beginning and the end, both. If you're
going to
answer the prayer, then isn't that...
Well, see, it wouldn't make so much sense to say he came in order for thy words, or, but it does make sense. I came because of thy words, for thy word. Because you prayed, I have come to see you. It seemed like it. So we're confused sometimes for it does mean. In order that. Sometimes it means because of. It depends on the context. And you have to make it clear.
No matter what it means.
Daniel's prayer was effective. And I believe that's why the angel of the Lord came. But in verse 13 now, what happened to the one who was coming?
Maybe we should just leave it as for thy word. We understand what that means, but we can't explain what it means.
John, the apostle, was in the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ for the word of God. In that case, it was because of the word of God, for the word of God, because he preached the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's why he was in the Isle of Patmos, for the word of God.
And for the purpose of
the
word of God. He was writing the word of God.
Yes, but why was he in prison in the Isle of Patmos? I know, but it's for in the sense of because of the word of God. He was there because. If he had not preached the word, he wouldn't be in the Isle of Patmos. See, so that was what that means. I mean, yeah, that's the dominion of it. Well, this is
Revelation,
Revelation chapter 1, see? See. So, king of prince of Persia withstood him. How long did he withstand him?
21 days.
And then someone came to help him. What was his name?
Michael.
Chief of princes. All right. So Michael was an angelic person that helped and remained there with the king of Persia.
So that was
Michael
the angel?
Michael, the archangel.
He was an angel.
He was an angel, that's right.
No, he was a different type of... He can't be an angel.
Well...
One of the chief princes.
He's a special, distinct classification of heavenly beings.
The archangel?
Right, yeah.
Yes, Michael.
That's the
Michael that you referred to. I think this will be Michael the archangel, the one of the chief princes, the ones that are leaders. Prince of the kingdom of Persia, I think these are spiritual
so archangels.
Pardon me?
So archangels are, was Michael a seraphim or a cherubim?
No, but arch means leading, the leading angel.
Yes, leading angel.
Satan used to be, Lucifer was the head of the angelic realm. So he was the archangel. And now he fell, and so we have... And this other prince, entirely possible this prince was not an earthly prince, but a heavenly, even satanic prince, a leader.
Fallen angel.
Fallen angel.
But that's what I'm asking. Is it an earthly prince?
No.
Or
probably no. Probably... See, as it says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, we don't fight in war against the flesh and blood, principalities and powers, spirits and high places.
We rest not against flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood, yes. Yeah,
well, it says Micah, comma, one of the chief princes, comma, came to help me. Isn't that explaining who Micah is?
Yes, and one of the chief princes, yes.
Okay, I thought you were talking about something else.
Yes, so he came to help him, and let's read verse 14, 15, and 16.
It says that I remained there, but the king of the Persian.
Now that's what I'm learning.
God
is
angel. Pardon me? The original angel who's talking to Daniel is even one that I remained there with the king of Persia.
Possibly, yes. In verse number 12, I have come for thy words.
The I was the one that Michael helped. The I is the angel that's talking to Daniel.
Right. That's something...
How is that?
The angel is going to be really referring to Jesus.
It could be. Could be if this was pre-incarnate. Remember, some of the expressions in verse 6, his face was also like girls, face and appearance of lightning, his eyes and lamps of fire. And so it's similar to chapter 1 of Revelation. A certain man says, clothed. It seems like the Lord Jesus in pre-incarnate, we call it a Christophany. We're not going to be dogmatic on any of these things, but certainly that's understandable. And so, or it could be another angel or something. So what did he come for in verse number 14? Let's read 14, 15, 16. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when they had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And I behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrow hath turned upon me, and I retained no strength. Right, in verse number 14, why did this being come to Daniel?
In verse 14, give him understanding.
Give him understanding.
What happened in the future to the nation of Israel.
Nation of Israel in the latter days. And this vision is for how many days? It just says many days. Could be this vision of the 70 weeks. Remember that chapter 9 talked about 70 weeks of years, 77, 490 years, determined upon thy people. And he wanted to let him know about that. Then in verse 15, what happened when this messenger, heavenly messenger, spoke to Daniel? So the ground. Dumb. What does dumb mean? Couldn't speak. Deaf and dumb. What does it mean normally when we talk about it today? Stupid, ignorant, and foolish. But this dumb means he can't speak, you see. And so he couldn't talk. Then in verse 16, what happened then? Okay, and then maybe there's another angelic being. Touched my lips, and then what happened? Was he dumb any longer?
That's like Isaiah.
Just like Isaiah? And like John the Baptist was dumb? Why was John the Baptist made dumb? John the Baptist's father, excuse me, Zacharias was dumb at the birth of John the Baptist. Why was he made dumb? Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. What didn't he believe?
He didn't believe
that
his wife had a baby.
What is it?
His wife, he didn't believe his wife was going
to
have a baby.
Probably that. And also, what about the name? Names would be John. Then he said, well, nobody in my family I think his name is John. And because he was upset, what did God do to him?
He couldn't
speak.
No.
What's that?
I don't think it was that.
He couldn't speak for how long?
The baby
was born. And they said, what should his name be? He said, his name is John. And the Lord loosed his tongue.
He's single for something to write on. Then his mother, his wife said John, right? Elizabeth said John. And then...
And then Luke chapter 1. Go ahead, Luke. Anna?
Okay, Luke chapter 1. Here we go. I'm going to read this verse. Verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and shalt not speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season.
So the reason of his dumbness was he didn't believe that he's going to have a baby. That's right. Yes, Anna? Yes, Anna?
Okay. The thing about this, right, his name is John, nobody, not... The thing was, when the relatives came, they said, oh, well, none of his relatives have the name John. That was with the relatives that were saying that, not Zacharias. And Zacharias said his name is John.
Yes, that's right.
That's how it was.
What verse is that, Anna?
That was verse 67 to 63, or 64.
All right, 57. This was full time. Neighbors said, came to pass that the eighth day, called him Zechariah, that's the name of his father. Dan, where did he get tablet and write on it. Is there a tablet? I made signs, verse 62, to his father. I would recall. He asked for a writing table. There it is, verse 63. His name is John and Margaret. And then his mouth was open immediately. So we got that all straight.
So he wrote it
first? First he wrote it.
Well, I think Elizabeth must have said he wants to be with the name John. There was also a second man to make do about it. If you think about it, wait a second, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
Zacharias, they're saying, well, it is right, but he can't say it. So he says, he needs to write on.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, yeah, his name is John, or whatever.
As soon as that was established, he opened his
paper, the tablet, or the...
Mm-hmm. So he became dumb, couldn't speak. And then in verse 16, one of the sons of men, probably another angelic being, touched his lips, opened his mouth. What did he do after his mouth was open? He spoke. And he said, what?
My Lord.
All right, he called him my Lord. One that's over him, a master of some kind. And by the vision of my sorrows have turned upon me. And what was the result? No strength. So before he bowed down, he was fearful and trembling. Now, no strength. And then let's read 18 to the end. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my word speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. When I have gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come, and I will show thee that which is known as the substitute of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. So in verse 18, what happened?
He touched him,
like an appearance of, and what did he do after he touched him? Did we read 17? We finished 17. No strength, all right. No breath left in me. Did we read that? No strength, no breath in 16 and 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so it touched me and strengthened me. What version's New Testament talks about this? Strength. What does Philippians 4:13 say? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What do the new versions do with that verse?
Something bad.
Something bad.
I used to, I mean, one time we were with people that were, that was verbally like to say, I don't know what you even call them, but it wasn't related to the actual stuff. And they used that scripture, and I do a little trick, and my dad can do all things, just try to strengthen me, and I, you know, use their hand and break it, you know, I mean, like a magician or something. God's will.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times that first thing out of context is sometimes what we want, we think we want God's strength to do is not what he wants us to do. We have to make sure it's God's will. I mean, he's going to give us the strength to do his will, not strength to do everything else. I mean, it's his will.
Yes, that's certainly true. And Paul was in prison when it was this. What do the new versions, the perversion to the Greek text and underlying with that verse? Take out Christ. I can do all things through the one. Because the Gnostics who doctored these manuscripts, Vatican Sinai, didn't believe that the Lord Jesus could do anything. He was just a man. He was a sinner. He needed to be saved. Terrible blasphemy. So they took Christ out of it. But we believe the Lord Jesus can strengthen Paul in the prison. And he can strengthen. So he strengthened me. And again, he's named what in verse 19? Daniel's named what? Again, the same words, fear not. And then it says peace. And then be strong. What in the New Testament tells us that believers should be strong? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, it says, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. So be strong, spiritually strong, not certainly. Samson was strong physically. Was he strong spiritually? No, he was. He went to several women and so on, so it was horrible. But the Lord answered his final prayer and slew many of the Philistines. Yes, as he came back to the Lord. Yes, Danny? Yes, he was.
So I'm not sure if we can say he wasn't strong personally. I mean, he had weaknesses, but people of strong, great faith often, or, you know, they often have great weaknesses.
Yeah. But he was, it was a shame. Of course, the Lord used that to get after the Philistines, I realize, and he slew many Philistines and so on, but he certainly is not an example of men with women. He had sort of all kinds of women, see, two, three, I don't know how many. The last one, his last wife was a traitor and wanted to kill him and shaved his hair off and became weak as another man. Yes, Anna?
Then look at David. Then look at Solomon.
Yes, all of us are sinful. And so David's heart, when he committed sin and killing and murder and adultery, was wrong. And, what?
Yeah, lots of wives.
Lots of wives. They're all different kinds of things. So we've got to... What is it?
Samson's mother didn't
want him
to go to
bed. No, that's right.
He didn't listen.
He has a number of quirks. He certainly, whether he's in the hall of faith or not, and certainly he didn't have faith at the end of his life, and the Lord answered his prayer, show me the pillars. He's blind as a bat. The lad that was with him showed him the pillars, and the whole thing collapsed. Hundreds and hundreds of Philistines were slain at the end. Yes, Anna?
Well, no matter who you look at in the Old Testament or the New Testament, except the Lord Jesus Christ, they have their weaknesses, and that's just so that we know that they're recorded, so we know that, so we don't exalt them above their measure, because whatever strength they have is from the Lord, and they were still humans and still made mistakes.
That's right. So he was strengthened by the Lord in verse 19, and he came to this man, and was there, the angelic man, came to fight with the prince of Persia, and then the prince of Grecia came. So remember, Babylon, Media, Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome. Those are the order of the kingdom to take over. And then in verse 21, he talks about what book?
The Bible.
The Bible. The scripture of truth. That's a good thing. There's none that holds up to these things with Michael in your print. I was showing what is noted in the scripture of truth. So this is briefly what we'll take in chapter 10. We'll take up chapter 11. We're going. That's perfect. But do you have any other comments or questions before we close? All right, let's close in with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can talk about Daniel. We thank you that he was called beloved of thee. And may we be meriting that name as well. And that thou canst see in us, those of us who are redeemed, saved by faith in our Savior, may we be loved by thee as we seek to please thee and love thee with all of our heart. And give us great understanding of thy words in the scripture of truth, and guide and direct us in all that we do and say, and bring us back safely in the Lord's name, and go with us and bless us and use us to thy glory. In Jesus' name, and for his sake. Amen. All right, thank you for coming.